after last week, a very controversial topic of abortion in halacha. I don't know what to say coming off of that, but we have a little controversial topics in the topic of Kivud Avim, as we'll soon see. There's a story that the Chidah brings down in the Sefer Adaras. He wrote a compendium on various topics of Jewish ideas and Jewish thought on the Talmud and on Navi and on Chumash, on all facets of the Torah. So he brings down a story of a certain rabbi, spiritual leader of a community. His name was Yeshua ben Elam. So Yeshua ben Elam, he was sleeping, and a voice came to him in his sleep. And the voice tells him, you know, fortunate are you that had the portion in the Garden of Eden, right, in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden, with Nanus the butcher. Okay. So Yeshua wakes up from the dream, he's like, what? You know, I worked my whole life. I raised, you know, 80, 100. I had many, many Talmidim, many students. I'm a spiritual leader of the generation. And the portion, you know, that I'm given in Olam Haba is the same as Nanus the butcher. He's like, who's that? So he says to his Talmidim, you know what? Let's stop here. We're not going back into the Beis Medrash until I find out who Nanus the butcher is. So, okay, he sends a few of his Talmidim to go and search for this butcher, Nanus the butcher, and they get to Nanus the butcher. So the his students, they start asking Nanus, you know, who are you, what do you do? So Nanus thinks they're trying to make fun of him, he doesn't even answer them. And he's just like, you know, sorry guys, you know, I'm the wrong person. Then he goes back to being a butcher. So they come back to their Rebbe, they come back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam, they said, he's not talking to us, he thinks we're joking. So Yeshua goes, oh, that's the case, I'm going to go myself. I can't go back. I can't continue learning until I know who he is. That he's getting the same share in Gan Eden as I am. So he goes to Nanus the butcher, and you know he gets there. So Nanus is like, "Whoa, I'm so sorry. You know, I make you come all this way, and you know, what do you want?" So Yeshua says, "You know," he goes, "Who are you? And you know, what do you do? What do you occupy your time with? There must be," and he didn't say this, but he's like thinking, you know, what's about this man, Nanus the butcher, that you know my share is like his. So Nanus answers him, "I occupy my time as being a butcher, and I serve my parents. My parents are very old and they're feeble, and all they're able to do, and I'm able. What I do is every day, before I you know go to the butcher shop, I get them dressed, I feed them, and I bathe them. Then I go on and I continue my day." So, after Rabbi Yeshua heard this, he's like, you know, fortunate are you, and fortunate am I who has this share in the portion of Gan Eden with you. Interesting story. See already something about the mitzvah of Kivud Avim, you know, the power that it has. So if you look on the sheet, the Minchas Chinuch he brings now, right? The Minchas Chinuch to Sefer, which goes through every single mitzvah in the Torah, and he first explains where each mitzvah is from. It's from the pasuk, from each verse, and then he gives the shoresh, he gives the root, he gives an explanation for every single mitzvah. It's quite fascinating, and then he gives some of the halachos dealing with the mitzvah. So he brings this down, the shoresh of the mitzvah of Kivud Avim. It's brought down in Parshas Yisro. So very quick, you know, he says, Mishar Shei Mitzvah, the root of this mitzvah is Shavroilu La'adam Shiyakir, a person should recognize V'gmo Chesed L'mishana She'asu Imay Toiva. He should realize and recognize the Chesed, the kindness of one who is good to him. V'lo Yenovo Menakir V'kafet Toiva. He shouldn't be disgusting and ignore the good that someone did to him. She says, Umida Ra, it's a disgusting character trait. Usa, B'tachlis V'teilu Kim Ba'anashim. It's disgusting in front of Hashem and in front of people. Right? V'shiyiti Nalibo, Kiyav, Eim, Hem Siba Se'yusu Ba'ilu. When a person realizes, you know, how did he get to this world? It's only through his parents. Right? He's going to see that the parents who brought him to this world. He's going to realize, you know, these are my parents. I'm not here in this world. You know, if it wouldn't be for them, I'm not here. Therefore, he's going to give them honor, and he's going to give them anything that he's able to provide from them, right? Because they brought him to this world. And he goes on to say that then he's going to recognize Hashem, because who brought your parents into this world? Hashem did. So that's the Hemshech, that's a continuation of what he says. So, you know, at first glance, it seems very logical. You know, it's like you're basically paying back a chud, you're paying back a debt. They brought you into this world, so, you know, the next step would be is that you're gonna give them honor. So, interestingly enough, there's Gemara Kedushin, I didn't write it down over here, I saw it, it's on, I think, Daf Lamed Aleph. Rabbi Yechanan says, fortunate is someone who has no parents. Strange Gemara. Fortunate someone has no parents. So he continues and says, Rashi explains, that the issue is that it's one of the hardest mitzvahs to be Mekayim. So therefore, the chiyuv of kibud avim, of honoring one's parents, exists only if one has parents. So he says, it's good, it's fortunate that a person doesn't have a parent, because he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim to the level that he should. So, First of all, something about the story of Rabbi Yeshua, right, that he got such a schar for honoring his parents. And also, you know, second of all, the Minchas Chinuch goes on and says, you know, the importance of the mitzvah, right? So what makes this mitzvah so hard to be Mekayim, right? You have to see the story. Unfortunately, someone doesn't have any parents. What's so special about this mitzvah? So it's a Gemara in Kedushin, right? It's here, it's Daf Lamed of Days. So it starts off with Tana Rabbanan. It says, Ne'emar, kavod avicha v'yetzimecha. It's a pasuk that we just read, you know, a few weeks ago in Parshas Yisro, part of the Ten Commandments. It says, kavod avicha v'yetzimecha. You should honor your father and your mother. V'ne'emar, and it says in Mishlei, Perek Gimel, I believe, kavod Hashem mehunecha. You should honor Hashem from your wealth. Okay? So the Gemara continues, Hishvah HaKasuv. The psukim equate. Right? Kibud Avim with Kibud HaMakom. It equates honoring Hashem or honoring parents with honoring Hashem. Let's continue. Ne'emar, it also says, Ish Amu Ima V'Aviv Tiro. One should fear his parents. And it also says, Hashem Elokecha Tiro. You should fear Hashem. So the Gemara continues. Hishva HaKasuv, the Torah equates, Myris Av. The aim, the Maris HaMakom, fearing Hashem with fearing parents. And again, Ne'emar, Mikalel Aviv V'Imay Moisumas, if a person curses his parents, he dies. A person curses his parents, he should die. V'Ne'emar, Ish Ki Yikalel L'Kov V'Nasel Chetoy. So a person goes ahead and curses Hashem, he's going to carry his sin. So again, Hishva HaKasuv, Birchas Aim, right? Bracha is really, it really means curse over here. It just speaks blushing, a clean blushing. The Gemara doesn't want to say the word curse. So again, we equate cursing one's parents with cursing Hashem. So the Gemara already, it's already showing the chashivas, the importance of the mitzvah of kibud avim, that it's on the same level. If one honors your parents, it's like you're getting schar, or it's like the same, it's on the same level as honoring Hashem. So let's take this Gemara a step further. The Rambam in Sefer by Mishayftim, by Halachas of by Mamrim, it brings down Perek Shishi, right? The first Rambam in the Perek. This is the Perek, the Rambam, the Yad Chazaka, right? In the Mishnah Torah, he discusses the mitzvah of kibud avim. So look how he starts off the mitzvah. He says, Kibud Avim, mitzvahs aseh gedoyla. It's a big mitzvah. V'chein, and similarly, Mora Avim, and similarly fearing one's parents. Shikla makasov kvaidoy uvimayroy. Right? It equates, again, his kavod and his fear with Hashem's. Meaning if one fears his parents, right? Just like one fears his parents, one should fear Hashem, and vice versa. And so too with fearing, as the Rambam brings down. It brings down very similar to the one we just saw. Kasuv kavod es avicha v'yasimecha. The kasuv kavod es Hashem mehonecha. The same Gemara. You should honor your parents, and you should honor Hashem with your wealth. Uvaviv imo kasuv ish imo v'aviv tira'u. Right, you should fear parents, and again, because of Hashem Elokecha Tira. Again, it's a similar psukim as the Gemara brings, and the Rambam finishes the halacha kederech shetziva kavod shema gadol umara. Just like the Torah commanded us to honor Hashem and to fear Him, kach tziva, so too commanded akvaidim umara, the honor and the fear of one's parents. Okay, so if you look at the Rambam on a simple level, okay, he's just repeating the Gemara, but the Rambam, when he starts out the halacha, right, the sixth word into the Rambam is, he says, Kivud Avim, mitzvah aseh gedoyla. It's very strange for the Rambam to use such a lashon. He's saying something about the mitzvah of Kivud Avim. He could have just wrote very simply, Kivud Avim, mitzvah aseh. It's a mitzvah aseh. Usually when he starts off mitzvah, he speaks out that the mitzvah aseh, and he goes into explaining, usually, the reward or the punishment for the mitzvah, right, or he'll go out and explain, you know, he'll delve straight into the halachas of the mitzvah. But over here, right, what does he do? First he's saying it's a mitzvah gedola, right? That's the first thing that he says. The second thing, if you look at the next halacha, right, it says, Mekalel Aviv V'Oimo B'Skilo. Then he gets into the, in Beis, he's getting into the scar vine, he's getting into the person gets stoned if one curses his parents. So fine, maybe you could say that maybe kiva, right, honoring one's parents and fitting one's parents, there's no din of misa, there's no din of skila by that. But it should, the Rambam could have started out very simply and see kiva ra'aim is a mitzvah. What's the reward for it? Right, it's brought down in the Ten Commandments. Yes, yes, it does. It says, I believe, is l'man yarichu yamecha, know that you're going to get long life. He could have said, this is one of the only two mitzvahs in the Torah that the Torah says you get long life for. Right, that and sending away the bird, if you find the bird with its children. So, but the Rambam's not doing that. The Rambam's first saying it's a mitzvah segedola, and instead of explaining the schar v'ainish, which he gets into in days, he explains that the Torah equates it with honoring and fearing Hashem. So if you look, just, you know, simply honoring and fearing Hashem, right? The Torah, right, in Shulchan Aruch, for that matter, in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, what does it mean to fear Hashem? The Shulchan Aruch, one of the first Yuman, I forget if it's Simon Beis or Gimel, it brings down the halachas of the Beis HaKisa, going to the bathroom, right? This fearing Hashem is a certain way you should act. The Torah guides our lives in every, you know, everything that we do. You know, from the morning we wake up in the morning to the morning we go to sleep. There's no time in between. And also, you know, in terms of honoring Hashem, right? Every mitzvah, the Torah gives us all mitzvahs, and it says, right, in we read it in Parshas B'Shalach, Zekeli B'Avei, we should glorify Hashem. Every mitzvah that we do, we try to do it in the most optimal way, right? We try to buy a nice ulav and the best matzah and everything. The tefillin should be the best. We want to glorify Hashem. So if you take it to the fullest level, you know, what does that mean? You know, it's telling you that also the mitzvah of kivud avim, it's no less, right? You have to, everything you do for your parents has to be on a very, very high level. You know, it doesn't just mean, you know, picking them up. It means picking them up in their car and opening the door for them, right? We have to take it to the extreme. You know, as much as you could do, you should do for your parents. Okay, so if you go down to the bottom of the page, right, there's Hagayis Maimonis, right? If you go to letter Aleph, right, it's the fourth line, right, in the first column. Yeah, he says, Kein Isa b'Talmud Adidon. He brings down the source, right? A lot of times the commentators, the Magid Mishnah, the Hagayis Maimonis, they bring down the source for what the Rambam says. So he brings down our Gemara that we just read together, Lamed on the days, Shehukash Kvaydam Kavod HaMakom, right? It's equated the Kavod of your parents to Hashem. That's our Gemara. Aval B'Yushalmi, right? The Talmud, there's two Talmuds, right? We usually learn the Bali, but there's also a Talmud that came from Jerusalem. So he brings down Yushalmi and Teah, right, dealing with the corner of the fields, one of the first Gemaras over there. It says, "Amar Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Gadol Kivud Avim. How great, right? Kivud Avim is such a great mitzvah. Shehich Mevra Kosov Mikavud Hamakom. The Torah gave it more kavod to Kivud Avim than the kavod of Hashem." Yeah, the Gemara goes on and continues. How do we see that? Shebekavod hamakom hu omer. It says, "Kavod as Hashem mehonecha." You should honor Hashem with your wealth, right? With your wealth. That's what does from your wealth mean? It continues. Yemitein lecha bayis. If it's given to you a house, tikva mezuzah. Then you have a chiyuv of a mezuzah. Yemitein lecha talis, tikva by tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered garment, then you have the commandment, right, of putting tzitzis on them. Yemitein lecha mammon. And if mammon is given to you, asim mehem stuck. You have to give stuck for it. But you're not mechuyev. You're not obligated to run out and go ahead and get a four-cornered garment or try to get money to give it stuck. You know, we try to do the mitzvah of tzitzis. We put a four-cornered garment on in order to give ourselves the obligation of wearing tzitzis. But again, it's only from your wealth, from your possessions. That's when you're chayiv to honor Hashem. Right? If you have possessions, if you have money, then you're chayiv to give tzedakah. It doesn't say from your wealth by the midst of kibud avim. What does it say? Sha'afilu in lecha klum. You don't have any possessions. An ani, a poor person. Sha'in lecha klum ata tzarech litchom v'rechayim b'shvilen. Not kan. So you have to go ahead, take a millstone. You know, they'll give you the wheat. The Torah says it. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The mitzvah kivodim comes from your parents' money, but they give you the kernels. You take the millstone. You go ahead and you have to physically grind the wheat. Right, grind the kernels and make bread from it. You have to go through that process. It might take hours, and during that time, you could make a lot of money. But it doesn't matter. Even so, you have a mitzvah of kivud avim, right? But it's the physical aspect. There's more, it's not just money over here. There's actual toil in doing the malacha. So we see this Yerushalmi, right? We see it's not just hishva. It's much more than our Gemara. It gives it more kavod than the kavod of Hashem. So maybe, I don't know, there's a possible way of learning. The Rambam says mitzvah is a gedolah. It's a great mitzvah. It's great and even greater than the mitzvah of kavod Hashem. That's why it's a mitzvah gedolah, right? You don't see too many mitzvahs that you get more schar than doing things something for Hashem, right? A beinadam mechaber is much more schar than the kavod of Hashem. So maybe that's pshat in the Rambam. Okay, let's continue. Maybe we'll try to see something else, another way to understand it. We all know that the mitzvah says, right? Every mitzvah that we have, we make a bracha on, right? It's a klal, it's a rule, but every mitzvah we make a bracha. So again, if the mitzvah of kivud avim is such a great mitzvah, besides being a mitzvah, it's a great mitzvah, so it should require a bracha, right? The mitzvah of lulav, we'll soon be eating matzah, right, in a few weeks. The mitzvah of Megillah, it's a rabbanon, but you make a bracha on every mitzvah, right, that we go throughout the day. Right, we start in the morning with the talis, and then with the mezuzah. Everything requires a bracha. So the mitzvahs that don't require a bracha, right, and you're understanding why not. So it's not over here, but there's a few different here with some printed here. But just to speak out outside a little bit, the Binyamin Zev, he brings down the reason is that we only make brachas on mitzvahs that separate us from the nations of the world. And he says kivud avim is a logical mitzvah. And if you go ahead, I mean, you know, most people, even if they're not Jewish, tend to honor their parents. They're makir tov. They recognize the good that their parents brought them into this world, and they help them, and they honor their parents. So therefore, kivud avim, since it's we do it like the non-Jewish people do it, that's the reason why he says we don't make a bracha on it. The Or Zeruah, which is a Rishon, right? He gives another reason that only mitzvahs that have a set time for them require a bracha. Meaning lulav, it requires to do the mitzvah right during the day. Right? Tzitzis, tefillin, these are mitzvahs that are all time bound, and that's why they require a bracha. Right? I mean, he answers up. He has a lot of questions on his pshat. You know, very, you know, one that you think of right away in the morning. You say berachas haTorah, you make a bracha on the Torah, and you have to learn the Torah day and night. So he says, since the pasuk says lo yomash sefer Torah mipicha, the Torah should never leave your mouth, and it says that's referring to Kriya Shema, and Kriya Shema is a mitzvah which is done by day and by night. Since Kriya Shema is time bound, and you yaitzi l'chi l'tamal Torah through that, he says that's why you don't make a bracha. But he goes through every single mitzvah that doesn't have a bracha, and he tries to explain why they don't. Okay, so we go to the first column over here, the Aruch HaShulchan, right? One of the more recent Achrayim, he brings down in Dalet. Let's start with Dalet. Interesting. And again, we'll start with Dalet. Yesh Shal, those who ask, Lami Mevarach Mamitzvah, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Kibbut Abeim? The Chenokavim mitzvah Yesh Shalazu. There's many mitzvahs that have this question. Kimot Stakka, right? You give Stakka, you should make a bracha. It's a mitzvah say. Ugumilas Chasadim, you do chazit to somebody, you should make a bracha on it. Kuyotzib Elu, and similarly, there's many, many, many mitzvahs, Kurus Meis, that you don't make a bracha on. So he says, only ask that, he gives an interesting reason. When you ask that in Yira, the kiv nechol oim v'loshen oisim oisam, right? Similar to oisim of the Yaman Zev. We see that every nation and every tongue, everyone does this mitzvah. Nihisha oisim ifnei ha-seichel, right? So he says, I understand they do it because of their seichel, because of, right, common sense. Mikol makom kiv nsheba asiyah. Right, shoving him. The hevesh urach machshava shebelev sheelu aisim and they see the kadosh baruch hu veilu v'yaseichel loy tiknu. Right, a very similar terrorist that we saw. Right, the first terrorist that we spoke out for the Binyamin Zev. Right, that the whole difference. Right, in this mitzvah. Right, that more than Binyamin Zev, he's saying that you should have it when you do it. The machshava. Right, when you think about the mitzvah, you should realize that you're doing it for a kadosh baruch hu. You're doing it because Hashem told you to do it, not by goyim. Goyim just do it because, again, he says it through seichel. But you should do it sheba machshava shebelev. Those are the focal words of what he's trying to say over here. And that's why. But he says since goyim do it, that's why we don't make a bracha. But he does say one should have the machshava and the way that you're doing for the mitzvah of kibud avim. It's important to have when you're doing the mitzvah. Not just doing it because, you know, everyone else does it, and it's the normal ways of the world. You're doing it because Hashem told us to do it.
I mean, you're saying, like, even like eating,
but
like a bracha on eating, everybody does.
That's why. It's not a mitzvah. It's a birchas net. It's just Okay, so the Rashba, right, the Rashba, look what he says over here. He's from the Chalice Shuvas Rashba, right? He has many, many Shuvas. He brings them down in Simeon Yitzchak.
Lama, right? Our question. Lama mevarchim al mitzvos kulam. Kigoyin hamilvas chavero. Another one, right? When you, the Torah says you should lend money to your fellow Jew when they need it. So why don't you make a bracha on it? It's a mitzvah asay. So look how he starts off the tshuva. Zushela amuka. It's a deep, deep question. Yadavda sha'amdu alav harishainim. Is that right? And the rishainim, all my fellow rishonim, they're omen on it. They thought about this question. And it's like they realize that you only make certain brachas on some, on miksasan, and you don't make brachas on all the mitzvahs. And which ones do we make a bracha on, which ones don't make a bracha on. And he's saying, the Rashba says, it's not as simple as the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say that he gives a reason. I'm sorry, I don't say that, but he does say that each one has its own independent reason why you don't make a bracha on it. And let's skip a little bit. Again, he goes through every single, 15-20 minutes in the first column, and he continues, and he just goes 7 lines down in the second column. That's what's focused on Kivud Aveim. By the 19? Yeah.
But on some mitzvahs, you could be passive. On this mitzvah, you can't be passive.
Like what?
In a positive mitzvah, as opposed to a negative, and I don't do this. If you do.
No, this is only on mitzvahs asay. It's not a mitzvahs os asay. It's not a negative commandment, because negative commandments you shouldn't do. You don't make a bracha for not doing a mitzvah.
So you can't be passive in this. You have to be an active. The army has to be active as opposed to.
No, we have to define what active means. What does active mean? Standing up when they get into the room, saying we should make a bracha every time they stand up?
To what degree?
Oh, so we'll see. What degree does the mitzvah have to be done?
Until it's fulfilled.
Right. Okay, good. So he says, Uminoah, by the 19, the chol mitzvah she'ev shele me'ikra, afagav dahash shalom ikra, commanded mikra damya. He's saying, from where do we know that every mitzvah that's possible to be oikir, to uproot, even though right now it's not uprooted, it's considered as if it's uprooted. Right? And follow that? So a mitzvah that's possible not to have, even though right now you have it, but since it's possible not to have, it's considered as not having now. That's his rule. He brings a proof from it, from a Gemara in Ksuvos. It's a little complicated. And he says, let's get down, it's by the number 25, it's about 10 lines, and then we'll see the answer that he gives, the reason, by the 25. We learn out this rule, we can apply this rule to the Moira, the Kivud Av Ve'em, the Amidah B'nei Rabbah, when standing up in front of one's Rebbe. Hayil, since the Eshel Mikra Lahaya say you could be Eiker, you could uproot this commandment, the two, Sheharav Shemachla Kvaydo Kvadamachal. Those are the key words. A Rebbe could be Michael on his covered, and his covered is Michael. And the Gemara in Kedushin, is the same thing by a parent. They could be Michael on their covered, and it's Michael. Meaning, if a parent says to his child, or a Rebbe says to his child, don't stand up for me when I walk into the room, there's no mitzvah to stand up for them. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Right? So even though right now you have a chiyuv to stand up because he did not forgive you, but since he has the ability to pardon that obligation of standing up, that we look at it as if you have no obligation now. That's the Rashba saying over here. And the principle is that since he has the ability to be Michael on his covered. Okay. So I want to speak about now this idea of being Michael on his covered, right? A father, a Rebbe, right? Basically a Nazi. The Gemara says everyone could be Michael on his covered except the Melech. Over there, because you can't keep Michael on his covered. Because the reason is that the people have a certain fear of him, right? The president, the prime minister, he's a certain person, and if he stopped being Michael on his covered, he wouldn't be considered the president, and there'd be, I guess, total chaos. He needs a certain fear of somebody, and it's the Melech. So the idea that the father could be Michael on his covered, right? There's a chakira, I think. There's two ways how to understand the mitzvah. When a father's Michael on his covered, does that mean now there's no mitzvah? Right? The father says, don't stand up. There's no mitzvah of kivud avim. You're not fulfilling any commandment. Or maybe, it's possible to say, when the father says not to stand up for me, when I walk into the room, that is the mitzvah of kivud avim. You're fulfilling the mitzvah by not standing up now. Right? It's a funny way of saying it. By not standing up, when he tells you not to do something, right? That's when you are going to be mekayim this mitzvah. So there's a Kiveger in the Shulchan Aruch who brings down a Radvaz that even when the father is Michael on his covered, when he forgives his covered, right, and you're not going to be punished for it, but you're still going to get scarred for doing it anyway. So that seems to be not like we're saying. Like, even if you do it, then you're going to get schar. But if you don't do it, so you didn't do it, you're not going to get any schar. Interesting, Rabbi Kiviger. So, this halacha, right, let's apply this to us now. That's what we're trying to do. In Hilchos Kivareim, it's Simon Reish Mem in the Shulchan Aruch. This is Sif Chafei. It's on the top, right? I don't know, it was inserted after on, it wasn't stapled in, I don't think. It's inserted?
I think it should be in the extra page.
Right, it's a Lamed Hey? Is that right? I don't know if everyone...
It's inserted, it says prayer, e-prayer.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, so on top of that, right, on top of that page, correct, good. It says, let's read the halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, and this applies to everyone. Or the kids. Talmud should write to Alechus L'Makom Acher. A student, if he wants to travel to a different place, Shibotayach Shira Simen Bracha B'Talmudo. And he knows that he's going to see a Simen Bracha, rewards. He's going to see his learning be better, let's say, in Israel. Rav Shisham, his Rebbe is over there. And his father says, you know what? I don't want you to go there. In that city, right, where the Rebbe is, where the Yeshiva is, the Goyim are gonna, you know, Ma'alilim, they're gonna make it's dangerous. It's a dangerous area. The son does not have to listen to his father, and he can go there anyway. Okay, fine. That's the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the Sfardim, this is what was written for them. And let's continue the Haggah, which is the Ramah, was written for Ashkenazim. And similarly, based on this, im ha'av meicha beben lisa ezo isha shiach b'zvar. The father, right, the parents protest, the son wants to marry a certain girl, and the parents say, this girl's not for you. I don't think you should marry her. Ein sarach l'shmaya el ha'av. Doesn't have to listen to his parents. The son doesn't have to listen to a son, by the way, it says son. We'll see later if that means son, maybe it means daughter. But the child, the son doesn't have to listen to his father. Okay, so we just spoke about, maybe it'll help us understanding these two halachas. Okay, let's go now to the next page. Again, this is all, it starts with the Reish Mem Aleph on the top of it. Okay, so let's go to the Piskei Tshuva. It's the bottom left of the first group. There's a Chaf Beis over there. Let's just clarify. He clarifies what the Shulchan Aruch means. He gives an explanation of it. Shubotayach Shira. He knows. He knows that he's going to do well in the second place. So he can go to Israel. So he writes, Kasa b'sefer chamudei d'niel. Nireh tehu adin afilu safik lo. Even if he's in doubt. Shema yasir and simen bracha mutter. Even if he's in doubt that he's going to succeed in going to Israel, he can go anyway. He doesn't have to know for sure his learning is going to be better. Interesting. And he continues, the cost of Eid, Echad, Hayarait al Ispal, Babesha Knesset, and Ispal, and Sham Yasib Kavana, and the Imam Maichabazah, in Sariq the Shemayallah. Interesting halacha. But he says that if the son, he wants to daven in a certain shul, he wants to daven in the yeshiva, let's say, I don't know, or, you know, a different shul in the community, and he knows that his davening is going to be better over there. His mother says, you know what, I want you to daven in my shul, whatever, I want to see you during davening, I don't know, whatever it is. He doesn't have to listen to her. And he uses his mother, the mother is, always wants her son there. So interesting. So fine, you don't have to listen to your parents when it comes to these two things. So if we go to the bottom right, the Rivash, right, on the Rishayim, Shaz Shuvas Rivash, he brings down an interesting idea, a twist on this. He says, "We saw Vaod Veisi B'Shem Haravid. I saw B'Shem Haravid. Sheim Bayad Harav Limchoil. Right, but the Rebbe kept him Michael on everything. Pisha Amru. We said already. We said the Gemara Kedushin that the Rebbe who's Michael on his covenant is covered as Michael. The Torah Dileihu. The Torah says, the Rebbe has a right to forgive his honor, because his honor is all because he knows Torah. And the Torah says, so he could forgive that honor. Right? So he says, Hainu midi d'les baby Zion. This is something. When could the Rav be Michael on his covenant, forgive his covenant? That's when there's no shame to it. There's no shame to what's happening to him. Ella, Shabbaisin Dvarim, Shachayev, Adam Linod, Bakavad, Machmas Torah. So the certain things that your Rebbe needs and requires, because he's the person who learns Torah, can go mama and bipanav, people have to stand up for him. Kyoti bezeh behenu yachal limchol aval bezyano. So that's kavod. Standing up for him is kavod. So that's someone that he could be meichel on aval bezyano any yachal limchol. Adraba also limchol. So Torah mispazes is patach. But if he's meichel on things that are bezayin to him, That's going to be Aser. Because in the Torah, because he is the Torah, he learns Torah, he studies Torah. So if one shames the Rebbe, the Rav, he's also going to be shaming the Torah. Okay, good. So we see that also by a parent, right? When the parent could forsake, right, and be meichel on his kavod, we're going to apply this. He continues it also only in things that don't have any shame with them. But if there would be shame, it's not so simple that a parent could be meichel on his kavod, right? You might have to start listening to your parent in such a case.
Yes.
Fine. So there's Gemara Megillah. It says Amar Rava, Amar Rav. It's getting late. Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Masa Gadol Talmud Torah Yaisim Kivud Aveim. Right? Talmud Torah is better than Kivud Aveim. What happened? She calls and Shanim She Yaakov Avinu Bebeis Ever Lo Nenesh. Right? The whole time that Yaakov Avinu, right, he got punished for all the times that he was away from his parents, but when he was studying the Beis Medrash of Ever, he wasn't punished. Right? And the Gemara continues and it brings down sources for this. So we see the Gemara is trying to say that Yaakov Avinu wasn't punished for the time that he was sitting in yeshiva, right, for those 14 years and not honoring his parents. And there's a Rashi in Erevin. Let's put it together. The Rashi says, you see the Rashi, it's on Daf Mem Zayin, right? It's in small print. Shalom and Hakol Adam Zaycha Lilmod. Ein Adam Zaycha Lilmod Mikom Lamdab. A person doesn't have the merit. It doesn't happen that a person is able to learn from all his teachers. Yesh Rav Shemisnasu Sedur B'Piv B'Shono Talmidov Derek Tzar. There's a certain Rebbe, right? The Rebbeim, which the way that the Talmud, right, their understanding of the Torah, it comes out of their mouth very clearly, and the students, you know, learn from him Derek Tzar in an easier fashion, right? So, right, the Gra, right, one of the commentators brings down from the Gemara in Erevin, that we see already that the concept of honoring one's parents is sort of put on the side, right? We don't throw it out, we have to listen to what the parents tell us. It's put on the side, and one could go ahead and learn Torah, right? We see it from Yaakov Avinu, and what's the reason? The Rashi brings down the reason as being that that's where the son is going to learn. So we see that he's allowed to leave his parents in order to learn. So let's continue and let's go to the next page. This book, right, is an English book, Sefer. The name of the book, it's published by Article, it's called The Fifth Commandment. I think it's a new Sefer. The Fifth Commandment being Kivud Aveim, and he goes through the various halachas that, you know, relate to us in the modern era. It's written by Moshe Lieber, he's a rabbi in the yeshiva in Israel. So let's, you know, just time restraints. Let's skip. You know, let's read one. If a child is confident that his success at Torah study will be enhanced by changing to a yeshiva located in another community, he may do so, even if his parents object due to their fear for the child's safety in the new location. Okay, let's go down to 32 on the bottom. That's okay. It starts off, Mora Horarim V'Kibudam reports in the name of Rav Eliyashiv, in Eretz Yisrael, he's one of the biggest, or the biggest Paisik in the world, in Eretz Yisrael today, that the parents object because they feel that the traveling route to and from the out-of-town yeshiva is dangerous, one should consult a competent halakhic authority before deciding to change the new yeshiva. But if we look into what he's saying carefully, what's he bothered by? What is Rav Eliyashiv nervous about? It sounds like his worry is from the fact that he's going to have to travel, not on a daily, but on a consistent basis to and from the yeshiva from his house. He's not saying the issue is, you know, going to Israel today, going on a plane, you know, landing in Ben Gurion Airport, taking the taxi cab to the yeshiva. If one sits in the yeshiva, it doesn't sound like that's going to be an issue. It's the danger of chas v'shalom, someone might be a terrorist, you know, on the way from yeshiva to one's house. But if it's possible that if a boy is going to be learning in yeshiva and he tells his parents, I'm not going to go anywhere, I'm going to sit in my yeshiva and I promise not to take any buses, it doesn't sound like that's a reason for the parent to object for his child, you know, maybe not going to a yeshiva located in a safe area. Okay, that's the first point. I think that, you know, anyone disagree what he's saying? I think that could, that's how he understands it.
It sounds like consulting an halakhic authority really takes away the burden from some mediator.
Yeah.
Basically, like the authority is going to say, let him do it. It's taking the child away from saying no and letting the
halakhic
authority really convince the...
Okay, right. Let the rabbi do it. Okay, the rest is interesting. I just want to skip.
The reason behind that, I mean...
Yeah,
what? Obviously, the whole heter of not listening to the parents. The parents trying to stop the child from the actual physical learning.
Right.
But if there's, but if he's not learning, I mean, he's traveling. So there's nothing to equate the objecting of the parent. There's nothing to knock out the
right.
objection.
Exactly. Right. Because it's legitimate.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll have to lead on. I'm very sorry. I wish I could say it. But you mentioned Yad Binyam Zev, and I didn't know who is this Binyam Zev that you were quoting before.
Who is he? I'm not sure. I wrote it down. He's an Achron. He's not from the Rishonim. He lived in the past 150 years. Familiar? Do you know?
Yeah, what country did he function?
Not sure.
Alright, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Where is that? Okay, you know what? Let's skip it. Let's go to. I'm just going to shop. Let's go to 132. There's other things. There's very interesting stuff here. Just.
The children who do this have to realize that they're taking a big prize. They really have to learn where they go to the next town. They're missing. Right. Only the Talmud. If you really have to learn better.
Right. You think Mavato want to say, and also not learning.
Right.
Okay, good, very good. Let's just 132. Children, right, by marriage. Children should consult with their parents regarding choosing a suitable marriage partner. Parents, however, do not automatically have the power to veto a child's choice. The potential mate is morally and religiously upstanding person. The child may ignore the parents' objections. If, however, the child's character or religious level will suffer as a result of the marriage, the parents may object. And their opinions must be followed. And again, we're leaving this to the halachic discretion of the authorities, of the rabbis, right, as a result to make such decisions. These are not simple matters. Okay, there's a lot of interesting comments in the bottom, but I guess... this is our halacha. The next page. This is what we spoke about before. There are different schools of thought among the policy regarding the question of whether parents may object to a mate for the child based on a claim that marriage will cause him shame and anguish. If we remember, that's what the Rivash said, right? Meaning a parent could be Michael on his cover, but he can't be Michael, he can't forgive shame. If it's going to cause the parent shame, right, that the son has to abide by the wishes of the parents already, right? The parent can't... The son has to listen to him. So the Netziv, in his responsa, Meshiv Dava forbids one to marry a woman if his parents claim that the marriage will cause them shame. That's like we said, that's like the Rivash that we spoke out. But he brings down, responsa, Agudas Ezov disagrees, okay? And the responsa, Shevet HaLevi, right, Ravazna from Bnei Brak, who stole out today, he wrote down in his tshuva very recently, that while generally the child is justified, it is preferable the child and parents consult with their rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, and come to some type of accommodation. Again, it's very it's hard to see what he's saying, but if we look in the bottom in note 49 and note 50, he speaks about various issues that a child, interesting, wants to marry a girl, and the girl is not on the same social status of the family. Let's say the parents are, if they're very wealthy. And the girl doesn't come from a wealthy home. And for the parents' friends to see that their son is marrying a girl from a family that doesn't have millions and millions of dollars, that's going to make them look bad. It's not just lacking in their honor, it's like a shame to them, My son marrying a girl who's not, who doesn't drive a Rolls Royce. So in that case, it might not be so simple. Maybe the son would have to listen to his parents and not marry the girl. It's an issue that, that's being brought to the floor. He discusses it on the bottom. So anyway, just to finish up.
He gives a very good quote here.
Yeah, what?
Whenever such a case comes before me, I attempt to delay my ruling, hoping that an injury of the child will come around to the parents' point of view and be sensitive to the parents' feelings. Not that Allah supports the child's position unless the proposed marriage is someone
unlawfully
purported to marry. So he tries to smooth things
over. Time heals all wounds. So getting back, just put this back to the original Rambam, right? Just back to what we said originally, right? Remember the Rambam said it's a mitzvah se gedola, right? He said it's a very, very big mitzvah. Right? Maybe another pshat in the mitzvah se gedola, right? Not just like we said from Hagoyis Maiminis, and it was more than money, right? The mitzvah required actually physical labor. Maybe another pshat in the Rambam is, right? It's a mitzvah requires, the gedola is, it requires a lot of sensitivity and a lot of understanding on how to do the mitzvah, right? It's it's definitely not what the Rambam means, but that might be another reason why this mitzvah is so gedola. It's something that's not just you wake up in the morning, you know, you go through your daily life, you put on your talis, you put on your tefillin, you make brachas when you eat food, you make kiddush, and you may eat challah and Shabbos, and you don't do malacha. It's something that requires a person to think before he does everything, right? When a person calls his parents at night, you know, and call my mother, I try to be, you know, be careful. You want to be very sensitive. You want to listen to the parent. You want to deal with them the proper way. And that's why it's one of the few mitzvahs that require a person to think every time he does the mitzvah, right? How we should do it. It changes from one, you know, from 1 minute to the next, depending on how his parents feel. So that might be another reason why the Rambam says Mitzvah Gedolah. Thank you for listening.